Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Folks at Northwestern Medicine, and it's Heart Health Month, so we all thought it would be a good idea to focus a little bit on our hearts. Here is Dr. Asim Zaidi. He is a cardiologist and medical director of the cardiology group at Northwestern Medicine's McHenry and Huntley Hospitals. Doc, thanks for joining us. Boy, do we have a lot of questions for you this morning. How are you today?
Good morning, John. Thanks for having us on the show.
This is an aside, but it's maybe in your area of expertise. We were just talking about wine. What's the current thinking on red wine or white wine? Is that good for me and my heart or bad, or we don't know yet?
So I think what we would generally say is, in moderation, a glass of red wine is not going to do harm to your heart. And there's been some studies, particularly in Europe, that in the past have described a glass of red wine as being good. So we would say in moderation, that's absolutely fine.
I would be happy, and I think this is where a lot of people would happily land, is I don't know if it's good, but what's important to me is that it's not absolutely deleterious to my heart. I like wine enough that if you just tell me it's not going to be real bad for me, that's really all I need to hear. It doesn't have to be good. It just has to be not real bad. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Absolutely.
And you can at least give us that, right?
Yes.
What are some risk factors that people should be thinking about when they're thinking about their heart health?
Yeah, great question. So we know that heart health is a big issue in this country, and much of this can be prevented with healthy lifestyle choices. The American Heart Association calls the risk factors the Simple Seven, and they refer to things starting off from managing blood pressure. We know that a large study 2 years ago showed that almost half of Americans in the United States has some form of heart disease, and that's related to high blood pressures, levels that we previously thought were okay. We now know are associated with people doing worse in the long term, and treating blood pressure earlier makes a big difference. So that's something people should really keep an eye on.
Yeah. And that's very manageable, right? I mean, if I have high blood pressure, but I'm on medication to keep it at a manageable level, then I've got that box checked, right? I'm doing okay?
Absolutely. And sometimes, even in the early stages, we do lifestyle changes first, adjusting the diet, reducing salt, more exercise. So medications are definitely there if needed, but the first-line therapy is to adjust things in the lifestyle without medications.
Mm, okay. What else is on that list of seven, Doc?
So other things are really important are cholesterol. The one that we refer to as the bad cholesterol is what we call the LDL. And also blood sugar. Keeping the amount of blood sugar low, and the people who are diabetic, that needs to be aggressively controlled. And a lot of that depends on how much sugar is being taken in. Along with all of this, it's being active, eating better, losing weight. These are all separate risk factors, but they're all related. And more Americans we know are becoming physically active, but our obesity epidemic is far from over. And almost 40% of Americans are classed as obese. And we know from data that these patients, they live a shorter length of time, and the life they do live has a lot of cardiovascular issues associated with that. And John, the final risk factor in the Simple Seven is to stop smoking. Tobacco use all around the world, not just in the United States, is the leading cause of preventable death. And unfortunately, even though the number of cigarettes adults are using is becoming less, we've recently seen a sharp increase in e-cigarettes, particularly in teenagers and young adults. And the problem with this is that nicotine in them can increase the heart rate, increase the blood pressure. And these are the things that we know can speed up narrowing of the arteries that can lead to heart issues. And not only just in the heart, vascular disease can occur everywhere in the body.
I thought those some of those vapes were a better form of, you know, smoking than smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's sometimes the conception, and that's what younger people think. But we're seeing a lot of issues with vaping and a lot of other issues unique to vaping, such as a lot of the oils that are used in the manufacturing of them can have really bad effects on the lung particularly.
Mm. Talk to me, though, a little bit about COVID-19 right now. Is there any relationship between heart health and COVID-19? Does one make me more susceptible to have a problem with the other?
Absolutely. So, you know, COVID-19 hits our health in separate ways. One way to think of it is that someone with COVID-19 infection, what can happen is the infection can cause a generalized inflammation in the body. And we've seen, and we knew this from previous viral infections, but as we know, COVID-19 is much more potent, that when that inflammatory process is going on, then the blood almost gets stickier. And that can lead to blood clots forming. That could be in blood clots in the blood supply to the lung. But as cardiologists, we worry about blood clots in the blood supply to the heart. So that's where we're seeing people coming in with heart attacks related to COVID-19. Also, when people are fighting COVID-19, they can often get a significant chest infection or pneumonia, and that puts more strain on the heart, where the body's mechanism for dealing with this infection needs the heart to pump stronger. And that's where we see people where that demand is not, the supply is not there to meet mm-hmm. the demand. One other thing that we've seen is that, you know, I'm sure you understand, John, that in the last 12 months, we've all been under stress in ways which we never thought of. And we knew from before that the stress and anxiety has been, there's a very strong connection with that and heart disease, because stress and anxiety pushes up heart rate, pushes up the blood pressure, people don't sleep as well, and they all contribute to heart disease. And we've seen more of that with COVID-19. We knew before that social isolation, loneliness, that led to poor health and heart disease. We're seeing more of that now. People are using more illicit drugs. There's more substance misuse. There's more alcohol consumption, more than that just one glass of wine you were mentioning at the start. Mm-hmm. So there's different ways how COVID-19 is hitting us. There's some ways that it's just being at home and dealing with the concern of it, and then the people who have the actual infection, it's a kind of a different mechanism.
Dr. Asim Zaidi is with us from Northwestern. He's cardiologist and practices out of the McHenry-Huntley Hospitals. And I think that's a really interesting point, because I think of heart disease as some germ or some stroke that I have, and that damages my heart. But I think a lot of us walk around with a baseline of anxiety, and we have no idea what the connection is between that and our overall health, let alone our heart, but it doesn't feel good, right?
And yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know, maybe as a result, are all of our blood pressures a little elevated and we don't even realize it? I mean, how do you get, though, from anxiety to heart problems, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, what you hit the nail on the head, John. So, you know, when we have clinics, our medical assistants room our patients, and they report and they come out to you and say, okay, Mr. Smith is ready in room one, and, you know, all of his blood pressure and heart rate look good. I can tell you over the last 12 months, the number of times the medical assistants have told me that the blood pressure is much higher is just, it's almost predictable. So we're seeing that in the community. And what I would urge people is be aware of it. Be aware that all of these stresses impacts things like heart rates and blood pressures, and to check them. It's simple to check your blood pressure. And so if you notice it's going up, speak to your primary care provider or speak to your cardiologist, because it's important these are controlled. And fortunately, blood pressure, stress, anxiety, depression, we can treat all of those, whether that's with lifestyle changes, whether that's with therapies, or whether that's with medications. So there's definitely something that can be done. The important thing is to pick it up in the first place.
I was telling my son, you got to go to the dentist.
Said, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'll get to the dentist. And I think a lot of people are putting off routine medical treatments of all sorts because of COVID-19. And I suppose this is where you and I will run into the sort of residual deaths or impacts of COVID-19. If people are thinking, I don't feel well, or my heart doesn't seem perfect, but I don't want to go to the doctor right now because of COVID-19, maybe COVID-19 doesn't get me, but the inattention to these other details does.
Absolutely, John. So we understand that people are worried about seeking, you know, seeing their doctor, whether it's something routine or whether it's something they're being treated for, because they're worried about getting COVID-19 from the office or from the hospital. But unfortunately, this has led to us seeing patients delay their treatment and then becoming worse off. And this can be from a cancer patient who's delaying their chemotherapy infusion from fear of coming in to the office, or someone at home who's having chest pain, which is actually a heart attack, but not coming into the hospital initially due to their fear, staying at home, their heart's getting weaker, and when they finally do come in, their recovery is much longer and harder. So, you know, we've been in this pandemic for almost a year now. And at the beginning, I'll be honest with you, we knew very little about COVID-19, its transmission, whether our personal protective equipment, our PPE, worked to protect our patients and healthcare workers. So at the beginning of all of this, we essentially closed the hospital to non-urgent testing and procedures, and we closed our offices.
Right.
We introduced telemedicine, which has actually been a great thing, and that's something we're going to continue. But over the last 10 to 12 months, we've gained experience with COVID-19. We've gathered data, and so now we know how to safely open the hospitals and offices. So we have the right measures in place. We have temperature checks, mandatory masks, social distancing.
And I think I'm glad you're fortifying that point. I think we've heard that, but it's a really timely reminder now as we are in the throes of winter and people are a little more shut down. Dr. Asim Zaidi is a cardiologist and medical director of the cardiology group at Northwestern Medicine, McHenry and Huntley Hospitals. Good to have folks like this looking out for us on our side, on your side. Doctor, we're out of time, but more of your colleagues will join us later in the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much, John.